To seek holiness is to seek God, for it's His nature. It's a nature of purity, of power, and of passion or love, which we were just singing about. We should also expect that when God by His Holy Spirit makes us a holy people, we would also experience in our hearts and in our lives purity and power and passion or love. Love shed abroad in our hearts. Holiness of heart and life is what we truly need more than anything else in this world or in the next world. In the book of Isaiah, we see one of God's choice prophets who had a vision of the holiness of God. It resulted in his own purification and an empowering and a passion to go and speak for God to the world. He answered, "Here am I, send me." This is also what we see in the early church on the day of Pentecost. Their hearts were cleansed by faith, it says in the book of Acts, and they were empowered by the Holy Spirit to be His witnesses, and they were made perfect in their love. Jesus said that John the Baptist came to baptize with water. Water represents forgiveness and conversion. But Jesus said that He had come to baptize with fire. Fire represents the characteristics of sanctification, purity, power, and passion or love. It all starts in our hearts. And it comes out in our lives. The purity or the passion or the power of God is shown by our lives, but it starts in our hearts. You understand that? That God has to do a work in our hearts for us to even look a little bit like Jesus on the outside or act like the church should act in the world. And so as we came to read Isaiah's account, we see a distinctive doctrine of the Bible and of APNTS, holiness of heart. There, the prophet saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he saw angels singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." Most of us in this room come from holiness churches. And one of the great theme songs that we've sung while we've been growing up, or they sing whenever we have anniversary times in our traditions, is "Holiness Unto the Lord." And that's our watchword and song. They also sing one great hymn on Sunday mornings, often in your language, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And we enter into the presence of God as we worship. And I was with a Spanish congregation, and as they sang "Santos, Santos, Santos," I felt that the presence of God was as real as any place I'd ever been. And I didn't understand the rest of the words in Spanish as I was worshiping with them on a mission trip there. But I understood that they love the God who I love. And they want to be like the God I want to be like. And these people that I'm with today, I can't understand what they're saying when I was on this trip. But I do know that they have a desire to be a holy people because they serve a holy God. And when Isaiah saw the vision, he instantly recognized that he was not holy and that he himself was a man of unclean lips. That's the focal point of where he became aware of his sinfulness. And it could be different in others, but his eyes had seen the King, the Lord Almighty, and he realized that he was undone and not worthy to be in the presence of such holiness. But one of the angels, the seraphs of God, took a live coal, fire, representing fire, off of the altar, and it touched his lips, the very point of his sinfulness that he was aware of, and cleansed him and made him pure, gave him power and gave him passion. It said, "See, this has touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." And then, immediately, he heard the voice of the Lord saying a missional message to him. "Whom shall we send, and who will go for us?" Some of you have answered that very call. In fact, that might have been the scripture that was used when someone was preaching or you were reading in the Bible when you felt God call you to be a missionary or to go and come to this place. "Who will I send? Who will go for us? Who will go to the streets? Who will go to the other countries? Who will go to the people who have never heard before?" A holy person, once God has changed their hearts from the inside out, instantly begins to see with missional eyes. And I don't know if his answer before would have been the same, but his answer when his heart was pure and when the Spirit came in, his answer was instantly, "Here am I, send me. Let me be the one."
that answers the call for God.
George Allen Turner in The Vision Which Transforms says, "The vision of God enabled the prophet Isaiah to see not only the Lord, but his own need and that of his neighbors as well." We learn from Isaiah's vision that God is not only high and holy, but he's also near and accessible. Because God is transcendent, that means over everything. Holiness is important, but because God is immanent, that means very close to us. Holiness is possible. As Isaiah did not see himself until he had seen the Lord first, so man cannot understand himself apart from the light of God's self-disclosure. Still a quote from George Allen Turner. God has shown us himself, and he has shown us the way of holiness, in Isaiah called a highway of holiness. It is this vision that has the greatest power to transform our lives. In a sermon by J.B. Chapman, a second-generation general superintendent in the Church of the Nazarene, which was titled Holiness, Heart of Christian Living, he gave 3 points that really focus our attention today. That holiness is a doctrine to believe. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that I'm jealous of Dr. Dick because he teaches doctrine of holiness. And because I believe that that's one of the most important classes you could ever take when you come to this seminary and when you sit under his teaching in our theology department. It's a doctrine to believe. I'm proud of all of our churches, denominations, Free Methodist, Wesleyan, Nazarene, others that are represented here that preach scriptural holiness. And that message must never die from APNTS. It must still be a central focal point of chapel and of all of our hearts and our lives. It's also an experience to receive. Not just a doctrine for you believe in your head, but something that changes your life in your heart. And it's also, besides that, a life to be lived. A real holy person, it shows up out in their life. Amen?
Amen.
As a doctrine to believe, the first step toward obtaining this blessing is see and acknowledge its desirability. And secondly, to obtain the blessing is to choose definitely to have it. This is what the people at the time of John Wesley taught. And the third step of the Wesleys was toward obtaining the blessing is consecration. What is consecration? Well, repentance has to do with that which is wrong. And repentance is what we do to get saved. But consecration has to do with that which is right. And we consecrate it all or give it all to God, for him to anoint it, to bless it, to make it set apart, which is the core meaning of holy. And the fourth step toward obtaining the blessing is faith, to accept it by faith. Nancy Leigh DeMoss in Holiness, the Heart God Purifies, says that the road to holiness starts with brokenness, which leads to surrender, and then comes holiness. When you were singing holiness, holiness is what I long for, holiness is what I need, then they changed the verse, and maybe you didn't think about what you were singing, but if you thought about what you're singing, what I was sitting there thinking was, do I really want to sing this? Brokenness. Brokenness is what I long for. Brokenness is what I need. I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, do I really want to sing this? Do I really mean this? But unless you become convinced that you cannot live the Christian life in your own power, that there's something deep inside of you that leads you towards sin, and not just the sins that you commit on outside, but there's something in your heart that God needs to purify. Unless you be convinced of all of the need and the desirability for this, then you will not understand to surrender all to the Lord for him to be able to sanctify you or make you holy. So you must first be broken. And if you're in that stage, my heart, my prayers go out to you, but God isn't finished with you yet. God is not done with the great perfect work that he's doing in your life. He's set an intent on making every one of us holy. Our God is holy and he wants a holy people. Praise the Lord. And it's an experience to receive for sure. Now we know there is a process that leads up to this experience. And we know that there's indeed a process of growth in grace that follows it. But this morning, we look at it purely as an experience to receive, which the Bible teaches clearly. J.B. Chapman, once again, was quoted as saying, holiness is a gift that is received. It is not attained. It is obtained.
It is not an achievement approximated by our own endeavors. It is to be accomplished by the divine enablement. It is therefore an instantaneous crisis and not possessed by means of a gradual approach that you achieve gradually. John Wesley wrote to one of his veterans, Alexander Mather, urging him to exhort all believers to go on to perfection as the Bible indicates, and to expect full salvation every moment by mere grace through faith on January 5th, 1780. W.T. Purkeiser, when teaching about crisis and process in sanctification, emphasized that this experience is a gift to be received and stated that the gradual giving of a gift is a confusion of terms. He cited Luke 11:13, where Jesus asked, "In comparison to earthly fathers giving good gifts to their children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him?" So we look at these four points about this. In John 17:17, it says, "Sanctify them by your truth. By the truth, your word is truth." In Acts 26:18, it says, "So that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Hebrews 13:12 says, "So Jesus suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood." And Romans 15:16 says, "So that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit." Neil Wiseman and Charles Zink say, "The theologians tell us we are to be sanctified instrumentally by the word of God," John 17:17, "efficaciously by the blood of Jesus," Hebrews 13:12, "conditionally by faith," which is Acts 26:18, "and efficiently by the Holy Spirit," which is Romans 15:16. My professor, Rob Staples, when I was in seminary, he said the experience of entire sanctification can be explained in three words: love excluding sin. Phineas F. Brzee quotes, "The gift purifies the heart. That means the destruction of the body of sin, the removal of the carnal mind. It is more than house cleaning in your heart or in your life. It is the gift, and the gift is the gift of God Himself in His fullness. The house is cleansed, purified, in order to receive and accept in fullness the guest, God Himself." "We're persuaded that there's no end to the possibilities of a soul in grace," Brzee said. "The love of God is measureless, and we may even know more and more of His boundless grace, but entire sanctification is not obtained by growth." John Wesley said, "After interviewing 652 members of the society, who were exceedingly clear in their experience, and of whose testimony I could see no reason to doubt, all who believe they are sanctified declare with one voice that the change happened in a moment. I cannot but believe that sanctification is commonly, if not always, an instantaneous work." Benjamin Titus Roberts, one of the founders of the Free Methodist Church, after reading 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24, where it says, "May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it." Roberts said, "When we find anything promised in the Word of God, we are not to neglect to seek it because it is promised, but we are to pray for it on that very account." And holiness is a life to be lived. I only preached a message exactly like this, similar, on one other occasion. In our denomination, the Church of the Nazarene, we started in October 13th, 1908, and we had many founders, but one person, Phineas F. Brzee, was a leader from Los Angeles that's been given credit for being one of the founders. And as we came to the 100-year anniversary, 2008, in October, they had the 100th anniversary. Banners were everywhere. Holiness unto the Lord. We were singing all those great songs. We were bringing messages, all the pastors in the churches, and I was a pastor of a church, and it was in Kansas City. And I brought a holiness message like this one that morning. We had 15 people join the church. 8 nationalities were represented. We baptized 13 new believers that day. And we started a Myanmar congregation that day at my church in Kansas City, because we had found out that there's no Myanmar congregation in all of Kansas City. And there were hundreds of people living in that area. And so we started it at our church. On first service, they came to church with us, but starting the next week after that, they had their service at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoons, and it continues to this very day. And not only has that church grown over 100, it's planted two more churches that we helped them plant in the Kansas City area, so everyone didn't have to drive as far to get there. And so I say to you that when holiness touches a life, people start touching other lives. We start reaching out to other cultures. We start baptizing new believers because we're leading people to the Lord. We start having compassion, just as you are on this campus, for squatters community, street children, and all kinds of other ministries that are around us. And it's demonstrated by a holy life that started with God doing this experience of holiness in our hearts. It's from every point of view the best life possible. But the first extreme is to lower the standard of holiness to the point where we can reach it without the grace God proposes to give us. It always should take grace, the grace of God, for us to even approximate or come anywhere close to holiness. The second extreme is to hold up a standard impossible even to the best of people. So we must hold strictly to the Bible standard, which best exemplifies in a New Testament passage, Titus 2:11-14. This reads, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." Therein this passage teaches us, in relationship to self, holiness will help us to be self-controlled. In relationship to others, it will help us to live upright lives. In relationship to God, it will help us to live godly lives. Dr. Joanne Lyons, I met her personally, very impacted by her, a general superintendent in the Wesleyan Church. She authored a book, and the title of the book was Holiness for the Real World. And if you have holiness, but it makes no difference to the real world, you don't have the kind the Bible's talking about. Because the Bible, God wants his people to be a holy church. In the foreword of that book, we're reminded that holiness is more than just a personal experience with God for every Christian. Indeed, it is that, but I quote, "A real dose of Christian holiness will produce a holy church that moves beyond itself to reform the world and care for the needy. These fresh emphases are not new, but Dr. Lyons says, but are squarely in the tradition of the early holiness movement." So we sang, "Oh, for a heart to praise our God, to praise my God," by Charles Wesley. I made the students learn that and sing that. I thought they did pretty good, although it's to a tune. I used to know an old tune when I was a boy that I didn't recognize this tune that it's written to as much. But the words, they were still the same. And my heart still wants the exact same thing. A heart to praise my God. A heart from sin set free. A heart that always feels thy blood so freely shed for me. A heart resigned, submissive, meek. My great Redeemer's throne, where only Christ is heard to speak, where Jesus reigns alone. And the rest of the verses. As we come to the close, if you have not experienced and do not have a testimony of a moment in time, whether there was a long process leading up to it and whether there's been a lot of growth after it. But if you don't know that you're entirely sanctified through and through, or that you've been baptized with the Spirit, the terms are the same and mean the same in these, the fullness of the Spirit in the Bible. Some have slightly different ways of bringing out nuances of the experience. Then pray with us as we sing in the close. Change my heart, O God. All of us pray today. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. And we're singing, Change my heart, O God. I say, of course, in any holiness church or chapel, the altars are open early in the semester. If you'd like to pray to God about anything, but especially if you'd like to pray to God and talk to him, I'm a seeker, Lord. I want more of you. I want all that you have for me. If you want to pray today, come forward. Pull those little cushions out where your knees can kneel. and humble yourself before God, because an altar is a place to meet God, simply provided for you to be able to pray while we sing. Praise team, will you lead us?
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. Then may I be like you. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. That may I be.
Stand and let's sing that one more time, and then we'll have a closing prayer. Now, once again, as we sing it this last time, if you want to respond, the altars are open.
Changed my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Changed my heart.
Single most defining moment in my life is the day God sanctified me whole. I've been on a road since then that required a lot of growth, but the fruit of the Spirit came with the Spirit, and some of them have needed to ripen, but praise God they've been there. The up and down Christian life is not one you have to live. The power of the Spirit, the passion of the Spirit needs to control you. You need to be convinced that your motives are absolutely pure. You're motivated out of love so that you can love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. You may not get it all perfect on the outside, but in your heart can be pure. God can make a perfect heart. If you don't know this experience, seek it till you find it. And if you're a seeker, never be embarrassed about that. For God will give you all of Himself in every way or whatever way He wishes to, as long as you keep presenting yourself and keep bringing yourself in full surrender to Him. None of our two experiences will be exactly the same. But God can be real in a holy life in every person. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And that's a command. Let us pray. Lord, as we leave this place, we consecrate and commit ourselves to You. We release everything we have or are into Your presence, into Your hands. We release what we don't know about the future. We release our struggles. We release our selfishness. We release to You any belongings we have, any talents we have, all our family, Your will for us. As the Wesleys taught in their consecration service, make me nothing or make me something, but may I be Yours. Lord, we present to ourselves, to You, ourselves, a living sacrifice, as was brought to our attention at the start of this service. As we need, right now, change our hearts, O Lord. Make us what You would have us to be. Fill us with Yourself, afresh and anew. Anoint the one who seeks that they will find. No promise has been given that God has not kept. No provision has been bought by Jesus' blood that is not available to us at this very moment. Full salvation. That's what we preach and teach. Not a salvation that can only half meet our needs, but full salvation. Thank You, Jesus. We preach victory in Jesus. Lord, thank You for the attentiveness of Your student body and faculty today. Bless them in the remainder of their activities. Throughout this day, keep us safe in the presence of an impending typhoon. May You remind us this day that You are our rock and our salvation. And for all these things, we will give You praise and honor and glory. We will say, worthy is the Lamb, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Amen.